two birds. So I was driving down the road, that which wasn't a road then. It was a little track through the pineapple fields, you know. Plovers were flying overhead, and it was August, and I didn't yet realize that in August meant that they had just come back all the way from Alaska, and were just settling back in again. And were very happy to be here, and they fly in pairs, you know, pretty good. And I stopped up at the cabin, and then I walked down to below the house here, to the stream bed. It was 4 in the afternoon when the Chinese thrush began to sing, the laughing thrush, you know. I thought, okay, this is a good place. I want to spend more time here. I want to hear that bird some more. I'm very fond of birds. And you know, the thrush, good days, I mean, some days, the thrush is the first bird to wake up, and you hear this incredible song coming from the thrush in the morning. And then again, starting about 4 in the afternoon, I just stood down there and listened to him right over my head. I thought, I want to come back here. I want to spend some time here. But I found out what the place was for sale, and it was pretty reasonable. And my parents had just died, and I had enough money to pay most of it, just bang like that. I never wanted to mortgage anything, and if you ever read the small print, you know, the mortgage says that it belongs to the bank until you've paid everything off, you know. No, that's not a kind of relation that I want to be.
Right.
So I got it, and then I started thinking, you know, what to do with it. Reform the soil and find what other palms would grow. And I started learning how to grow palms from seed.
What did you think when you first saw it?
Well, I thought, it says ruined land. It's supposed to be ruined land, and I can see that it is. I mean, the land looked like a dirt road. And I thought, I always thought, if I ever owned a piece of land, I'd like to restore it. I mean, anybody can grow roses on an English loamy, 6 feet deep garden, you know, in the perfect climate and everything. That's kind of cheating in a way. What can you do when a place is wrecked, as so many places are? And I thought, I'd like to try to restore this. Well, you know, the ironwoods, so-called here, the casuarinas, have been given a bad name because the state passed out casuarinas. They passed out the wrong species. Leave it to the state, you know, with sucker roots all over the place. And but there are species of casuarina, which I easily got 2 of them, that are the only trees outside the legumes that can put nitrogen and oxygen back into the soil and make humus. And I could get those, and I started planting them all up along the road. You don't see them now because they grew for 30 some years, then they got termites and they had to be cut down. And when I took them down, which was not fun to do and expensive to, I one day put the spade, the digging spade, in right near a stump of ironwood, and where it had been like a dirt road 30 years before, it sank into that much topsoil, black topsoil all the way down. And everything wanted to grow there. And it's so much life in that soil that it spread all the way down the slope. So Chipper Wickman came over one day and he said, got wonderful soil here, so it mustn't have been easy. I said, Chipper, this soil wasn't like this to start with. The trees have made the soil. And once it starts down the slope, it comes down, and then at the bottom where all the humus is washed, it's good soil down there. And So that was the beginning of reform, of restoring the land. And then this is part of the history of Hawaii. I kept putting back. I mean, this is as a sort of fable of history of Hawaii. You think what the thing to do? I wanted to restore Hawaiian rainforest. And Ray Baker over at Lion Arboretum said, "You'll never restore rainforest because so much has been lost to the conditions, to the soil, and everything, and so many introduced diseases and insects and things." But it's not the way it was before they deforested it and did all those dreadful things to it. So I thought, well, let's see what will grow here then. And I took, Paula and I planted 300 koas, and they almost all died. They, you know, and again and again I found that if I put Hawaiian natives where they belong, where they've been growing 150 years ago, so sometimes they grow for a year or two, and then they were happy to die, and they just wouldn't grow here. They're tricky, you know. It's not what it was 175 years ago for them. They're full of new pests, nuisances. There's a borer from New Guinea, the cane borer, and it comes in and it'll go for other palms too, but what it really likes is Prichardes. The more I had to do with palms, the more fascinated I was.
Why? What are they like as a plant?
Well, no, we know so little about them. Oh. And, you know, they've been evolving for 90 million years. They're older. They go back to the ferns. They're much older than the sequoias or anything like that. You know, even palm that we think we know all about, like a coconut, we don't know anything about the coconut. We don't know exactly when it evolved or where or how it, why it has this magnificent, wonderful, medicinally viable. I mean, there's so many things you can do with coconuts.
I open that nut, I look in there, I see the clear water, and I think, where's the life? Where's the
life? It's all life. It's all life. It's just solid life. You know, the thing is that you can use coconut oil cream, and, you know, it's the best anti when your tummy isn't feeling very well. You take a spoonful or two of that, you feel fine. And I was growing all the kind of palms that I could to see just what would grow here. Because I thought, you know, I can't restore native forest. I can't restore native things very well at all. But palms are endangered all over the world.
Are they?
Yeah. He and his wonderful wife, Anne, walked down here, and by the time they got under that tree, she turned to him and she said, "Ian, this is the garden we've been looking for. I'm so tired of those botanical gardens all trying to look like each other." And she said, this is a garden that has the forest as its model. And she got it right away. I thought, you know, I can't do it the other way. I have to do it this way. I have to put it in and see whether the way the forest does it, which is apparently at random, but not at random, and you put things where you think they'll grow well and close to other kinds of trees that that want something different, and you do what you can for the soil. And so if we have too many bugs of one kind, in most cases we just let them be, and they take out some things, and that's too bad. But we have to grow them sturdy enough and hope that they'll be able to brave the circumstances. And you know, you lose some. You lose some in the nursery stage, you lose some at every stage. We had to deal with ants in the pots in the nurseries and things like that. And you just have to learn how to deal with these very practical details. So this garden was the first garden that was teaching me something. I'd had a wonderful garden in France. I've always felt that I wanted to garden on poor soil. I thought anybody can grow a lovely garden on wonderful, rich, splendid soil that's been enriched for several centuries and on. No, because we have to be able to grow things on not such hot conditions. And now, can we do that? And finding out how to do that. And it's been that attempt to learn something, and only the garden can answer me that, you know. And so this garden has been teaching me things from the very beginning. And I remember the day when I was walking up this thing, and I thought, what the hell do I think I'm doing? I really don't know what I'm doing, you know. What is a garden? I didn't know. What is a garden? I mean, you're talking about
the Garden
of Eden. What?
How is it different from a yard?
Oh, yes. Well, and, you know the myths and you know some of the other things, but there have been the many kinds of gardens that there have been all over the world. And the funny thing is, you know, the Japanese gardens, the ornamental gardens. There was a Japanese Zen Roshi, on the Kama River in Kyoto. He has his little place is still there and being taken care of. It's a very small temple, about the size of that room in there. And he wrote wonderful poems. He taught a number of things. Quite an extraordinary man. And he talked about the things growing where they belong, including us, I guess, you know.
When you say this land taught me something, it was because the land... didn't try to adjust itself to you. You had to do all the adjusting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then I wanted to see whether, for example, there's a, you know, just south of Japan in the Ryukyus, there's a magnificent palm. And I managed to get seed of it and try to grow it. And it grows wonderfully here, too. It's as big as a coconut palm.
Really?
And yes, and it withstands hurricanes and everything. You know, and it's very, very beautiful. I have several of them growing up together over here. I like growing things informally, so it looks as though that they happened that way. And
you've done what Hokulani Holt said to do. She said, go outside!
That's it. Yes. Stop thinking that the world is something that the human beings made, you know. It's much bigger and richer and more surprising than that. And you can keep learning from it. And it will go on teaching you as long as you pay attention to it. The garden is where we settle on the earth, really, and have a different relation to it. We're staying at home somewhere. You know, where the hunter-gatherers are moving all the time. It's not a place, but I mean, I think what your question also brings up is, we think that all of the questions we have are right here, and some of them are economic, and some of them are otherwise, and we forget that there's the whole night sky, which is itself nothing but questions. And,
but how do you live with not knowing?
So you have to live with not knowing. Everything of real importance in your life and in my life comes from not knowing. The arts. Do you think Beethoven knew what was coming when he started the Fifth Symphony? It comes out of not knowing. So all that romantic stuff about inspiration. Inspiration is just recognizing something, but something where you don't know. Out of what you don't know comes...
Well, how do you go forward if you don't know?
You do. You know, how do you... Leonardo simply made another stroke on the paper. You know? The unknown is the source of every one of the arts. It's the source of our falling in love with each other. That certainly doesn't make any sense, does it? Everything, all of the known comes from the unknown. And that, you know, I'm so happy that I didn't know what I was doing at the time, which is just right. And my first book of poems, which came out in my early 20s, and I had a quotation at the beginning from a man who was actually an architect, but he was a poet. And the line was, "Then let us state the unknown in the known." I thought, that's so wonderful. I want that to go with all the poetry I may ever write, you know, because that's where it comes from. The unknown is the source of every one of the arts. It's the source of our falling in love with each other. That certainly doesn't make any sense, does it? Everything, all of the known comes from the unknown. And that, you know, I'm so happy that I didn't know what I was doing at the time, which is just right. And my first book of poems, which came out in my early 20s, and I had a quotation at the beginning from a man who was actually an architect, but he was a poet. And the line was, "Then let us state the unknown in the known." I thought, that's so wonderful. I want that to go with all the poetry I may ever write, you know, because that's where it comes from.
Did you hear the wind come up and support you in that?
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you so much, Ryan. You've been so generous.
Oh, bless you.
Thank you so much.
Now, where will you use this and how?
Hawaii Public Radio.
Yes.
You'll get to hear it.
Get to hear it?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I'd love to hear it. I'd love to see what comes off it, whether I just talk too much or whether...
Oh, my God.
Do I wander off the subject a lot?
I didn't notice.
Okay.
I think we were on it the whole time. I just can't thank you enough.
Now, Jason is going to take you around the garden, isn't he?
Yes, he is.